¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Oh, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. It's Thursday night, happy hour. ¿Cómo estamos, primos? Oh, it looks like we're a little stuck right now. But no, things are good. Things are good. We got Hector Reyes in the house. Primo Nico Gutierrez in the house. ¿Cómo estamos, boys? Are we good?
Got my drink this time. Ready to go.
Oh, yeah. He's got the Dodgers. We had an early Dodger game, so nobody's going to have any problems catching up with us. Nico, how you doing, baby? Nico, how you doing, baby?
Can you hear Nico? Can you hear us? I see him talking. I think.
Oh, I don't think. I don't know what's happening.
There he goes.
Okay. Well, hey. There you go. Nico's in the house. Nico's in the house. All right. A little technical difficulties, but hey, hopefully you're following us on our YouTube channel and that you're also following us on Twitter and Instagram. Hector, where are they finding you?
What the heck? Two T's? Try
that. With two T's, and you got me at Jorge Martin 17. You follow our Familia FFB Facebook page. You got familiaffb.com. We've been hammering away on the Yeah, Nico, we can hear you now.
Wait. Can you hear us?
We're having the technical difficulties.
Please stand by. Got the test tone there.
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you now.
I got an echo going, though. One second.
Uh-oh. Okay. So we got... Yeah, we've been having our beat writer series and everything's been going great on that one. In the last few days, we had the Chargers, a great episode with the compas on the beat, Fernando Ramirez and Gilbert Manzano. Gracias, compas, for joining us. And also Zach Kiefer joining us from The Athletic all the way from Indianapolis. So we're not just concentrating on the West Coast. And tomorrow we're going to have a special one. The Raiders, Vinny Bonsignori, doing a return engagement. Our Las Vegas Review-Journal and also the head of Raider Nation Radio. So it's going to be awesome. Noontime. So make sure you're checking it out. A little lunchtime Raider talk. But, one of the things, guys, primos, that was kind of cool, I learned something about myself a little bit. Introspection. And it came because of the compas on the beat. Mm-hmm. They have been very, 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 very open and honest. Things that they, so many things. But they've also been open and honest about things they don't like. Things that are traditionally Mexican that they don't like. One of them offered up that he doesn't like to drink. And I'm like, I think that's almost kind of negative to say that Mexicans like to drink too much. So I don't think that's a bad thing that you don't like to drink.
Hey, we enjoy a good drink every once in a while, cocktails, et cetera, some little chela, cerveza,
Doing it responsibly, of course. And the other one admitted that Gilbert, who's also a fellow CSUN grad, he admitted that he doesn't like
matadors.
He doesn't like avocados. He doesn't like avocados. He doesn't like guacamole. And actually, one of the things that they said was that more people gave Gilbert a hard time for not liking avocados than they did for Fernando for not liking to drink. So, so primos, I'm gonna divulge right now. There is one very, very popular traditional Mexican thing that I can't do it. I think it's been more than 30 years since I've tried it because I just don't
what.
Like it. It's menudo.
And that is what?
Menudo, primos. Am I still in La Familia?
No, you're hey man, I'm right there with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you have an understanding of biology, where certain pieces and parts come from, I'm right there with you, man. I'm not a fan of menudo as much as you know, it helps with the crudo the next morning. You know, you had too much to drink, and you know, that's the traditional savior for hangovers. But I'm right there with you. Although one thing I will say is that my memories as a child of having menudo was going to Abuelita's house right there in Pacoima on Carl Street. And she Abuelita would make the fresh flour tortillas to have together with the menudo. Now I would have a little bit of menudo. My mom would serve me some, whatever. I would kind of, you know, whatever. But I was there more for the tortillas. And my mom still, to this day, my mom makes those tortillas, the flour tortillas, man. That's the best. That is the best. But I'm right there with you. Menudo, we're talking about, you know, physiology and biology and body parts. You know, I remember going into a carniceria. I can't remember when it was, and it was just maybe not that long ago. But when you have, like, you know, the meats there, and it's packaged in the styrofoam with the plastic on top, and there's chicken feet, like, just sitting there, like, in plastic, and it's just like, whoa, I can't do it. I, you know, traditionally, you know, you see, like, you know, patas and, you know, pig's feet and the pozole and all that stuff, like. I can't do that, man. And, you know, I'm right there with you. So there's certain animal parts, you know, sesos and cabeza and, you know, anything stomach lining, tripas, can't do it. Heads and brains and noses and chicken feet. I can't do it. I'm right there with you, man.
You know what? You know, it's funny. You know, back when I was, you know, a kid, when my pop would go out with some of his friends, he would always come back with tacos de cabeza. Yeah. Sesos. And I'd be like, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night or something like that. And he's like, oh, you got to try one. I'm like, I tried. It was so good.
Right.
So good.
Before you knew what it was.
Yeah. Then a few years later, I realized what it was. I'm like, I can't do it. And I see them in the taco truck sometimes. And I'm like, just can't do it.
I'm right there with you, man.
I'm Nico. Mad cow burrito. That's always good.
Yeah. Oh, Mad cow burrito. It sounds like, is that like a taco truck? That's the Mad Cow. Like that's like an awesome name until you realize, wait a minute.
Nico. Nico, how about you?
Oh, okay. It's funny. I thought about it, but what don't I like that's Mexican? Well, besides you, George. No, I'm just kidding. No, El Fajo, remember that? The belt? I didn't like the belt.
who did like the belt?
Well, yeah, right. That's automatic. It's punishment. I mean, who, you know, that's, you know, you did something wrong, you get the fajo, and everyone knew what that was. Once, you know, you get in the fajo, that was, you know, we're head for the hills.
There's some girls on Hollywood Boulevard, they liked El Fajo, you know.
Something like that.
Ay, Dios mío.
Dios mío.
That's a different broadcast.
That's for later at night.
10 p.m. podcast, right?
That's the late podcast.
No, but we were talking about food. So nopales, I never got that. The cactus is like, I just don't get it, man. It tastes like it looks. It's just not flavor. It's not good. It's in the desert. It's like somebody threw that away and let it grow. Anyway.
Well, you grew up in the desert, so I can see how you have like a kind of like a, you know, you have a bias against cactuses, you know, growing up in, you know, the Antelope Valley out there by the desert. I remember at the end of your block was at Sandcroft. The end of the block was just like sand. It's just like, and you're on a cul-de-sac and there's this desert there after. That's crazy. Back in the days.
It's Joshua
and cactuses.
Yeah, but and then also the candy, the Mexican candy. I you know, what was it, the crushed wheat with the sugar in it with a little rose point on it?
The mazapan? Yeah. Oh, you didn't like the mazapan?
Dude.
George, what's your opinion of mazapan? That's one of the all-time great candies, man. It's like peanut buttery.
Addictive. It was addictive.
Yeah, the mazapan. And it was always like, it was always a challenge. Like, okay, you get the mazapan and you're like, you have to unwrap it like without breaking it. Cause that's like challenge number one. Like if you can do that, like you're like, you know, you can be on the bomb squad, like, you know, dismantling bombs and stuff. Cause usually when you broke that thing, you know, you're unwrapping it, it'll crack in half. But yeah, it was a challenge to get it open without breaking it. And once you did that, you're a happy camper. And then it tasted awesome anyway. So there's that.
Hey, you know, one of the things, the mazapan, the other thing about the mazapan, make sure you're not wearing black pants when you're opening it.
Oh, yeah. The crumbs everywhere. And you're wiping it on your shirt, and it's.
If I could add one more thing, I remember my dad and all the uncles and everything playing dominoes, right? And they're all drinking Miller High Life, like, "Hey, Mijo, come here, taste this." And I'm like, thinking, "Oh man, grape juice."
How old were you?
7 years old. I was tasting. I was bored. Of course, I want to try it, right? But Miller High Life was just, that's the bad introduction. That's a light beer, and it just tasted like everything was. It's like a drink that they took everything out except for some of the worst bitter taste of it.
And I didn't want to. Yeah, but you said it also. So you're biased. You know, you're used to drinking Hawaiian Punch and Orange Crush, you know. So, you know, your palate was not quite as refined as it is today.
So I said, I'm never drinking till I turn 16.
So I turned 16, exactly. And you stuck to it. Good for you.
Well, hey, okay, so we got through that. We've admitted, we've opened up, we've helped out the audience to learn about us a little bit.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding.
A whole list of we got grievances. We got plenty of grievances.
There you go.
When I love this Mexican, I got pages and pages. You know, it's all
yes,
lots of
pride. Yes, sir.
Oh man. Well, hey boys, let's get into some cheese, man. So hey, Julio. So you know we got to join everybody else because everybody's doing it. Julio Jones got traded to the Titans for a number two pick in 2022. Mm-hmm. So the one thing, are they gonna throw more? I know if Ricky were here, he'd be like, "No, I hate this offense. I hate this offense. Why did Julio Ricky's Jones biased. Go there?"
I don't get why he's so against the Titans offense and Tannehill. I just don't get it. You know, another weapon that they have there, Julio Jones, you know, to complement AJ Brown. That's only going to open things up, you know, and you also have Derrick Henry, the guy that ran for the most yards last year. So,
yeah,
I don't see how
we'll this talk is about him in a second.
This can only be a good thing. I don't. And again, you're right. Ricky would be like, "Oh, this doesn't do anything. I'm not Julio Jones is nobody now." Like, I don't get it. Ricky would be poo-pooing this team, but I'm excited. I think this is going to open things up, in bigger ways for the Titans offense, and this is big for them.
Yeah, and you know, their defense did not upgrade that much. I mean, they got some help in the secondary, but they were one of the worst teams. In fact, I think they had the least amount of sacks last year. And all of a sudden they didn't really add any significant pass rushers. So, you know, I think they're still going to be in some shootouts. And again,
if they can outscore, you know, sometimes that's all it is. Sometimes if you can just outscore your opponents and just win that way, you know, if your defense isn't all that great, outscore your opponents and just get the ball to Derrick Henry a bunch of times. And then if they're doing that, then they, you know, you have the defense on their toes, you know, looking for the run, and then you got Julio Jones and AJ Brown. So it's looking good. It's good. That defense is going to have a tough time with the Titans next year.
Henry just needs to run. I mean, he's that guy, like, you know, if you put the pole in the spokes, don't let the car get started. Don't let the bike go, because once he gets started, that's when he goes.
Right. Going downhill. Yeah. He's like a bowling ball.
They were holding him up right away. And then at the end of the season, I think everyone just got tired and they couldn't. You give him 2-3 feet in front of you, you're done. It's like,
They can't stack the box because they have to respect Julio Jones and AJ Brown on both sides. I mean, this is a great wide receiver tandem. And I mean, they're fantastic. And so I think what this does do, it pretty much eliminates from even being draftable guys like Josh Reynolds and Anthony Firkser for Tennessee. Very funneled. Very funneled to those.
Yeah, this is a 1-2 punch. Pretty much every game, this is a 1-2 punch. And you know, Tannehill's progressions is going to be, you know, one or the other, and it'll be a rare occasion that, you know, he's going to need to go to a third option in that offense. Yeah. So.
Who's number three?
And then Derrick Henry may be catching balls too. So there's even that, even more so. To your point, Reynolds and Firkser, I don't see them, you know, ending up on anybody's fantasy roster this year, unless you're like in a super deep league.
Do you guys know on tight end who they have, or
Firkser's their tight end. I think they're going to be running a lot with Henry, and we'll talk about that in a second. So we'll get into that one. But on the Atlanta side, how excited are you about Calvin Ridley?
Huge. And Pitts, you know, and, talking about 1-2 punches, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, man, that's going to be fantastic to watch. I can't wait. I can't wait for that. Matty Ice, You know, he's, you know, talking about shootouts. You know, Atlanta Falcons is synonymous with shootouts. So, you know they're going to be throwing the ball a lot, which they do a lot, you know, consistently year over year over year. They throw a lot. In case you haven't been paying attention, Atlanta throws a lot. So I can't wait to see Ridley. Ridley, where do you see Ridley coming off the board, George? I mean, this his stock goes up big time. With Jones being gone, Calvin Ridley shoots up the draft boards, right?
I think he comes off by the early second round at the latest, exactly. maybe late first round.
Yeah, he may end up being you know even like a top five wide receiver next year. I have high expectations for Ridley, man. He's going to be huge next year. I'm excited.
Oh, I think he's got a possibility for even being the wide receiver one, maybe even top two or three. He just got so much goodness ahead of him.
Yeah.
And so the thing about Kyle Pitts though, how much higher is the hype going to get with him? And I just hope it doesn't get high like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it ends
thing about him was that he was the bell cow. So all the pressure was on him. The cool thing about Kyle Pitts is he gets to kind of take a breath because he's, technically the second option. You know, he's a rookie. Calvin Ridley is technically the first option. So he gets to mentor Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts can kind of be a little bit more relaxed and not feel that all the pressure is on him. CEH was like, oh my God, like I'm the lead running back here. I have to perform. So that's a lot of pressure. I think for Kyle Pitts, I think that he's in a perfect slot because being, you know, I'm not the number one guy, so all the pressure's not on me, but he can go out there and relax and perform and put up some big numbers.
That's good. And the one thing, it's like, I don't know what this does to Mike Davis. They're pretty much a running team. They're pretty much a passing team anyway. So right. I don't think there's anything. But Hayden Hurst, I don't think it helps him. Russell Gage, he'll have some weeks here and there where he vultures a touchdown, but I just don't see it.
They're a passing team. So, you know, running is going to be definitely secondary, you know. So, yeah, they're going to run, but it's, you know, I don't think you're going to have any running backs having monster games. You know, 150 yards rushing. I don't think we're going to see that from the Falcons. You know, it's going to be, you know, wide receiver heavy, you know, T.E. Kyle Pitts heavy. And, you know, Mike Davis will probably have some decent games here and there, but not enough to really bank on for sure.
And Nico, don't think for a second that I haven't forgotten what Julio Jones gave you your first title over me. So, eso todavía duele. Todavía duele. Todavía me duele. So me hace cosa.
We were down by the schoolyard talking about you.
You and Julio down by the schoolyard.
So we're gonna jam through these because I know we want to try and get through 10 top 10 running backs. And you know, Aaron Rodgers not at minicamp. Surprised? Anybody surprised?
No.
Nico, you surprised?
No, I how do you go back to a job where you know you kind of told everybody this? That you hate them.
Like, oh, right. You know what? It's like that Seinfeld episode where George decides to quit on a Friday afternoon and then he realizes, what the hell did I do? And then he just comes back the next Monday. It's like, oh, what? You thought I was kidding. I was kidding.
Yes, exactly. That's a tough situation. I mean, he lost his roster bonus. So, I mean, things are getting real. If they haven't already been real, they're definitely real now. He's given up money to not have to deal with the Packers. And that is huge. I mean, it seems like they're really button heads. They're really like don't like each other kind of thing right now. So, I mean, I'm hearing, you know, some talking heads out there saying like, oh, he's just, he's playing hardball, but he'll definitely be back for the season. He's not going to, you know, there's no way he sits out. I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, we talk about the death stare. I mean, that's not just on the field. I think as a businessman, Aaron Rodgers continues with that death stare. And if you're not treating him right, he will laser burn a hole with his eyeballs into your forehead. And there's no way that I think he meets with any demands or does anything, you know, anything with the Packers this year. I think this is going to be drawn out. And I really see a high probability of him sitting out for sure. It's not looking good.
Yeah, honestly, go ahead, Nico.
I'll take MVP's holdout for 300.
the Jeopardy host. Yeah, that's a nice thing to fall back on for him. If the football thing doesn't work out.
I still kind of think he's going to show up. I think at the end of July when they do training camp, he's going to show up Mike Florio said it perfectly. He said he's going to show up. Like, what's the big deal? I never said I wasn't going to show up.
I don't know, man.
I think it's going to be a monster trade. I mean, it'll be for another good quarterback plus something else. And on paper, Packers will get a better deal, but Rodgers will come somewhere where he can actually create a possible Super Bowl run.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe he ends up at Denver still. Denver's still there, man. I mean, I don't know if anyone's impressed with Denver's offense right now. You know, if Aaron Rodgers, you know, goes in there, I think things change up a little bit. So we'll see. John Elway pulled in Peyton Manning. You know, maybe he does the same with Aaron Rodgers. Let's see what happens.
Well, let's. There's plenty more to talk about with him. Saints coach Sean Payton said that everything is so far so good with Michael Thomas's ankle during the offseason. It's still kind of unclear whether he really had surgery. They never said anything for sure, but
which means he had surgery. Because if they ain't saying he didn't have surgery, that means he had surgery.
So he's going to – so, you know, one of the things a few weeks ago, I threw it out to Ricky, who do you take between Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen? And he didn't want to answer.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah. But, you know, either of you guys worried about this? I mean, it'll be almost – you know, it'll be about 9 months or so since the end of the season until he's back at the beginning of the beginning of the season. He's probably not going to do a lot of stuff during preseason. So does that, you know, considering it was kind of a lost season for him, anybody downgrading him?
I'm not. I think, you know, just judging by, you know, we're in the 21st century and, you know, just look at Adrian Peterson's knee. That's all I ever go back to is like the you know, surgeons have technology these days to do crazy things with injuries and to rehabilitate and to put people back together, like the $6 million man, Steve Austin, you know, back in the 70s, we used to watch that.
I mean, before Stone Cold.
Yeah, man. Before Stone Cold, there was Steve Austin. Like, Steve Austin is, you know, the $6 million man. But, you know, there's technology now that, you know, runners have knee surgery, ankle surgery. It's like no big deal. Like, oh, you know, Joe Burrow, he shredded his knee. Oh, it's the big deal. He'll be back. You know, it's like it's crazy now. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. You always arm fell off. Oh, they just put it back and screw it back on together. Like, no problem. It's like crazy. Deadpool. It's crazy what they can do these days. Like, so, yeah, if he had surgery, which he probably did. He'll be fine. You know, I don't have any problem. You know, the guy's young. Yeah, I'm sure he'll heal quickly and nicely. And they have the best trainers, the best surgeons, the best doctors to rehab him, and he'll be fine. You know, the Saints offense will be ready to go and, you know, plug and play with whoever they're going to throw back there, Winston or, you know, Taysom Hill. They'll be fine. Michael Thomas will be fine.
Well, a lot of it's mental. I mean, these guys get hurt, but some of them just don't, and they can do it. They just don't want to do 100%. You know, whether it was painful or they're just afraid they're going to get shredded or, you know, because some of these guys see these older guys and they can't even walk. I mean, that's got to be in the back of their mind.
Yeah, but again, that's the older guys. That was like, you know, surgery, you know, back then, you know, older guys that are, you know, they can't even, you know, hardly walk. You know, the guys who are walkers, these guys that played in like, you know, the 70s and 80s, you know, it wasn't like that. Adrian Peterson's going to be fine. You know, for the rest of his life, he'll be great because, you know, I don't know what they did with him, but geez. That guy had some freaking awesome doctors to really take care of his knee, man.
And he really is, this, you know, a bionic man. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen Earl Campbell.
He's
was one of the baddest men in the world. That was that for a time he was the baddest man out there. So, yeah. And he's still the greatest running back I've ever seen. And it's sad to see it.
Like built like Derrick Henry, right? Like just like a tank, right? Just a monster, yeah. Like a beast of
Derrick
a runner.
Derrick Henry just like 5'11 instead of 6'3, but just a tank, and he could fly. He could fly. So
now he can barely walk. It's just it's crazy. The big difference between surgery in the, you know, 70s and 80s and what it is today. It's like night and day. It's like it's crazy.
Training facilities, the things that they needed, that they had, the
biometrics,
the turf.
Yeah, Barry Sanders, man, he's like running on like green concrete, you know, like he's like, I'm done, like I'm out of here.
I'm gonna
forget that.
All right, so our last bit of cheesemate is Russell Wilson said he never requested a trade, even though his agent put out there teams that he was going to get traded, he would offer to get traded to. So. You know, I think this is a preview of what we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers. at the end of July. I really think
I
this
never,
is.
A I never one. Said anything. I never actually yeah. said anything. That kind of thing. Well, that's all it's all politics, man. This is all politics.
Fake news.
he just doesn't want to get booed by the fans, so that's the big thing. So
yeah, you got to be politically correct, man. It's all politics, you know. But that comes to territory, you know. These days, it's big money business, so you just got to, you know, mind your P's and Q's and make sure that your I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and let's go.
No, man. Well, let's go to the top 10 running backs.
Let's go.
All right.
We're getting close to the season, man. Once we start doing, you know, rankings, it's getting exciting, man. It's getting exciting.
So we went through – last week we did the quarterbacks. We did the top 10 quarterbacks according to rank, and I still owe our fans an article on that. So I'll be putting that out with our – so what we did is we did our consensus rankings. Hector and I – Ricky couldn't do those because he's couldn't join us today.
He's gambling, right? So, is that Morongo?
Yeah. I was like,
is it Morongo or Pachanga? One of those.
Yeah, he better hit on, you know, soft 17. If
that's automatic. You got to
hit on a soft 17. Oh,
got man. To.
But, you know, one of the things about the running backs is, I mean, you look at the top 10 lists last year, how many of them actually finished the season unscathed? And not few. Many. Not many. In fact, the top 10 running backs last year, according to Fantasy Pros, Fantasy Pros point scoring, the top 10 running backs, the only ones who played 16 games were Derrick Henry and Kareem Hunt. So Kareem Hunt, who snuck in at number 10. So, you know, it's, you know, everybody else missed at least one game. So, you know, say it. So that's the thing that this is. You know, it's still worrisome, but the thing is, you know, you need that running back. I mean, Nico, you had Saquon Barkley, you lost him early, and you still recovered because you had good picks down the line. And starting it off, the 101, and he was the consensus, Christian McCaffrey, but he only played three games last season. Dealt with an ankle, dealt with a shoulder injury, and they basically just, you know, redshirted him at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, he's age 25, so he's still young.
Oh, yeah.
Any worries about the injuries from last year?
Well, did he have surgery?
No surgery.
That's all you need to know. You know, that's all you need to know is, you know, these, you know, he's healed up nicely, you know, whatever, you know, of course it's football. You get banged up, you know, you're going to get, you know, tweaks here and dings there. But the fact that he didn't have any surgery just means that all these months he's had to heal up and get better. And so I'm sure he's got to be back to normal now. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey at full power is just watch out, you know, just be ready. And let's see how things go with Sam Darnold, right? You got a new quarterback back there, but I think he's going to make up for lost time. He's going to do some big things this year. Yeah, Seek 101. I think that's the right spot for him.
You know, the coach came out today and said that they still expect Christian McCaffrey to have a big load. So I mean, I think that just made everybody.
Yeah, if he's back to full power, why wouldn't he? Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Nico, would you take him number one overall?
I don't know.
Right now, I'm putting a gun to your head. Pistola tu cabeza.
Yeah. Yes, I would. Yes.
Mexican standoff.
I hate Mexican standoff. See?
Quentin Tarantino has a bunch of those in his movies, man. Mexican standoff. Look it up.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, I mean, let's not forget, this is a guy who got, 1,387 rushing yards and then got 1,005 receiving yards on 116 receptions, 19 total touchdowns. That's 2 years ago. That is like LT in his monster. Prime type of season. That was just a monstro. And the thing is, I don't know if he gets back there. I don't know if he's going to get 1,000 yards rushing, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got 800.
Still going to be a beast. You know, as long as he stays healthy, he doesn't get hurt. You know, that's just, you know, the cliche for every running back, as long as he stays healthy. But he's going to be a monster again. He's Christian McCaffrey.
He threw a touchdown, too. He threw one, didn't he?
Probably.
I think he did. Yeah, I think he did.
Probably. It was not pretty.
Jerseys, too. I think he did that. And then he throws the annual party for the staff. So he does everything.
He does it. Yeah, he throws everything. The interesting thing is, remember Sam Darnold, he loved to throw to Jameson Crowder in the slot. So I wonder if he wants to throw those nice underneath passes to Christian McCaffrey, and if he's going to be feeding him a lot on those. So something to think about.
I'm sure he is. I mean, if I was Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey was on my team, I'd be looking at him all the time. So, yeah, for sure.
You kind of have a good quarterback because you don't want to sit there hanging to dry. Pass down the middle is the most dangerous pass. It's the worst play because you just hung out to dry. And if your guy's not leading,
McCaffrey's tough. He's got a low center of gravity. He'll be fine. He can just bounce off those guys, linebackers and whatnot. He'll be okay.
I think if they're smart, they got to throw it outside and just, hey, you know what? Get them on the sideline. Get out of bounds. Save the car crash for another day. Save it for when we really get
exactly.
The first down, get out of bounds. So number two, Dalvin Cook. Big surprise. He was the RB2 last year. He's age 25. He averaged 24 fantasy points per game last year. He had 1,557 rushing yards, 312 attempts. So that's a career high right there. He was number two in rush attempts behind the next guy we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 years in a row where he's been good. You know, he's kind of, he's missed a couple games here and there, but again, he didn't have anything that was extensive. He had four, I think he played 14 games each of the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And he's been good.
He's got a reputation, right? You know, Dalvin Cook, somewhere during the season, he's going to get dinged up a little bit and miss a couple mm-hmm. games, right? That's kind of just, that's the Dalvin Cook way. But, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, he's worthy of a number two ranking because, you know, he's on a solid offense. You know, Kirk Cousins is back there. You got Adam Thielen over there. You got Justin Jefferson over there. The offense is wide open. You're going to keep defenses on their toes. And Dalvin Cook is just a monster. He's only 25. So, yeah, number two ranking, no problem.
He wasn't allowed to go into second gear in a lot of those games. I remember him only getting 50 points.
Let me break it down. You got your new
customers.
They get.
Uh-oh. What
is that? TV commercials? I'll be right there, baby. It's all good.
That's Alexa talking to him.
It's Alexa.
Alexa, don't talk to me right now.
Alexa, don't talk to me right now. That's awesome.
You know, one of the things that our buen amigo, Dr. Edwin Porras said that, you know, there is that lingering possibility of injury with him, the shoulder coming back, you know, mm-hmm. this is a guy who had an ACL surgery in college. So, you know, there is the possibility that he's, you know, that he has some issue here and there just because, this is the most grueling position to play.
Sure.
Does that, you know, he's the, you know, between the two of us, we did, you know, he was number two. Any concern? If Chris McCaffrey's gone, anybody thinking twice?
Well, I personally, I think, Nico, you my ranking, twice? I had Derrick Henry.
Oh, that's right.
I ranked Derrick Henry number two. So I like Derrick Henry. I mean, no injury issues. He was number one overall in yards last year. So for me, for my money, if I have the number two pick and I'm looking between, you know, CMC's off the board, obviously. And if I'm picking number two and I'm seeing Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry on the board, I'm picking up Derrick Henry. And again, like we talked about it, Julio Jones is there now. It changes the dynamic a little bit. There's a little bit of a tweak there in the Titans offense that I think helps Derrick Henry. Not that he needed any help, but I think this helps Derrick Henry a lot because, you know, if defenses are now, you know, playing on Julio Jones now and dropping back, you know, now Derrick Henry gets to that second level and he's, you know, if he gets there, you know, and there's not a lot there to stop him, which guys are already scared of tackling Derrick Henry. It's like this unwritten kind of like no one wants to talk about it, but DBs are like scared seriously to tackle this guy. So I would take Derrick Henry.
DBs are like our size, you know. You know, yeah, some of those DBs are like 190 pounds, 190, yeah, you know, 200 pounds.
Yeah, but for a DB, that's pretty solid, right? You know, you're, you know, 5'10, 5'11, 190. You know, that's pretty good size for a DB, but not to tackle Derrick Henry. Like, no, man. No.
Well, speaking of Derrick Henry, he's number three. So yes. One of the interesting things about him was he had 1,073 yards after contact. That would have been number five by himself. So he gets hit from that point on. They start measuring the yards. So I mean, that's just that's a bad man. That's one of the craziest stats.
He's a bad man.
So the two things that are kind of working against him. He had a 2,000 yard season last year. Fantastic, increíble.
Yeah.
No one has ever repeated a 2,000 yard season.
Not yet.
So not yet. 17 game season. Maybe there's that possibility.
Not yet. 17 game season. Not yet.
And the history of running backs running for 370 carries or more is not good the following season. So the thing is, he was so dominant. We're all going to remember that. And we're not going to see him in preseason. So, you know, as long as you don't hear of any injury, you know, Hector, you put him at number two. Nico, uh-huh. Nico, where would you put him after Christian McCaffrey?
You talking about Cook?
Derrick Henry.
I put Henry number two. Put Saquon number three, and then Cook number four.
Ooh, okay. We're going to get into Saquon in a second. We will get into Saquon soon enough.
But yeah, Derrick Henry number two. I like Derrick Henry at number two. I agree with Nico. That I would have him there. I mean, yards after contact, he's blowing guys over. He, you know, not too many injury issues that we can speak of. He ran for 2,000 yards last year.
Yeah.
And the thing that stands out to me, if you watch Derrick Henry run, it just looks effortless. It looks like, you know, because again, he's not taking punishment, he's giving it. So if this guy's running down the field, he's like beating guys up. Yeah, he falls down, but it's not because he got beat up and tackled. It's just because he fell, you know, like somebody grabbed his legs or he lost his balance and he fell. It's not like he's getting beat up and falling down. He's not getting, you know, manhandled and brought down. If he falls down, it's because, you know, it took three guys to bring him down. So he's not taking like when I watch Derrick Henry run, he's not really taking a lot of punishment. You know, he's not getting injured. So, you know, the stat that you mentioned, you know, when an RB has more than 370 carries in a season, and then he carries that into the next season, generally there's like a taper off or regression. I really don't see – I mean, Derrick Henry's like a unicorn. Like, I don't really see that stat affecting Derrick Henry because he really doesn't – if you watch him run, if you watch his games, he's not getting beat up, which I think is that's where that stat kind of comes in. It's like, oh, RBs are – you know, they're running, they're getting beat up, and they're, you know, ice bath after the game. I don't see that. You know, I don't see Derrick Henry doing that. I think, you know, after the game he showers and he puts his shirt on – and he drives home. I don't really see him like, oh my God, I'm so hurt today. So I think Derrick Henry is a different kind of animal. And I think that's going to show next year. I think he's going to have an awesome year. If CMC was out, Derrick Henry would be my number one overall. So he's going to be great.
Yeah. Week 7 through 10 is when all the injuries are really piled up and you're scrambling and you're on your third running back or something like that. But if you have your first running back, you need those wins to make sure you get into the playoffs. So to have a solid team is great because, I mean, my team was pretty healthy toward the end of the season, and so that's what really kind of put me through it because everyone's guys were hurt.
You know, run
CMC. I hope he comes back in week 12. Like, you know what? You're done.
Unless you pick him, then you want him all year.
Yeah, you know, and the other interesting thing about it is the defenses in – in the AFC South, the Jaguars didn't do much to their defense. The Texans definitely didn't do much to their defense, and they're going to see Texans those teams at the end of the season. Yeah, the Texans. I don't know if any Texans are going to make our top 10 list. So.
Yeah, that's
and so. And so I said,
tough.
Fail. So I don't see it. But yeah, I think the thing is Derrick Henry's a guy I think we're going to want at the end of the season. And that's
when he blows up. The last couple of years at the end of the season when it's fantasy playoffs, the guy, I think he picks himself on his fantasy team and then he just goes off in playoffs. I think that's what he does. So all you guys out there, you know, everyone out there just think about that. I think Derrick Henry's doing that. So pick Derrick Henry.
I think so.
He's patting his own stats.
And I'm just taking a look at his late season. You know, he's got he's got Houston in week 18, so that's not good. Actually, it's kind of a tough one. You know, he's got week 15, 16.
Well, if Houston has no offense, then the defense is going to be tired because that means the Titans will be on the field a lot by the end of the game, you know, the Texans defense will be gassed and Derrick Henry doesn't run all over them. So
the tough part is, you know, he's going to have a fairly tough defense. He's got that during the fantasy playoffs. He's got Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Miami, and then Houston in week 18, which nobody's playing in those weeks where, you know, right. I'll be playing him in DFS that week. So,
right. We'll exactly. DFS. Yes, we will be doing that.
So I'm very curious, Nico, number four is Saquon Barkley. And you mentioned that you had him as your number three. Is it the 2018 season? Is that resonating in your brain more than his torn ACL last year?
Well, it's funny. When I look at him, I figure he's going to basically mimic what happened before. All the good running backs who got hurt all of a sudden had just like a nothing year, you know? You look what happened over in Dallas, or what happened over, you know, in New Orleans. You know, it's kind of like, you know, what is he going to do? You know, he's really, really good, but is he going to be shy? Is he not going to have the offense? You know,
right. The line. He's going to be a little bit timid, a little tentative when he's running. Yeah.
You know, and he's got a long hit. You know, because I think for him, it's like if I get hurt again and I'm done. You know, he didn't put enough money away. I mean, these guys have really got to think how's this going to work. And was I don't know if it was the line that really wasn't there for him, because he got beat up quite a bit.
The line was not one of the best ones. It was on the bottom half of lines last year. Yeah.
But he can catch and run. He can do it all. So I think that's a good rhythm. I picked him thinking he's just going to kill it. He just got hurt. I mean, if he would have had a full season, I probably would have been very happy with him. So.
But this is the second year in a row, right, George? This is the second year in a row now that Saquon's been caught the injury bug, right?
Yeah, the first one with that where he actually had to have surgery. But again, our buen amigo, our compadre Edwin Dr. Porras, he's not worried because he looked at it. There are markers that he looks at when it comes to guys coming back from major injuries.
Like the seriousness of the injury.
The seriousness is one, but he also looks at how old they were. He said if players have the injury by age 24, they usually come back. They usually have a return to health. And they have great athleticism, which means they were picked very high. So that's another thing, because he was what, the number two pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and he had great athleticism. So all those things are there for him to come back and in place for him to come back. I mean, the thing with him, he's got such an incredible upside. He could match. He's the only guy in this group that I think that can match McCaffrey and have like 700-800 yards receiving on top of like 1,200-1,400 yards rushing. So, you know, it's possible. And that's what he had. He had 1,300 yards and 1,300 yards rushing, 700 yards receiving in 2018, his rookie year. Wow. So
almost huge. That's huge.
So let's get into the Mr. Christmas.
Alvin
Kamara. And again, I'm still todavía mis nalgas duelen from the beatdown that the team. I was in a championship where going up against him, and it was him and Diggs.
The six TD game
on Christmas Day. I was at my mom's house. Didn't even want to watch it. I don't even think I ever. I think that's one of the few games I never even watched a replay of or highlights because I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't. So
fantasy. I mean, if you did the. DraftKings, you can just have him by just that one. I just picked that one player and probably
wins. Yep. Somebody,
you know.
Yep. Yeah. Spent up on him. Even if everybody else was like, you know, no shows, you got something on him. You know, the interesting thing with him is he's been able to be a guy, you know, kind of like a new age back. You know, even when you had like a Marshall Faulk or a LaDainian Tomlinson backs that caught a lot of passes, they ran a lot too. Alvin Kamara has never run more than 194 carries in a season, but he's always gotten between 81 and 83 receptions at each of his four seasons. The interesting thing, though, is he only got six targets in three games that Taysom Hill was the quarterback, and there's still an open competition. You know, is he anybody worried? You know, considering there's a quarterback competition, anybody worried that, you know, maybe he's not going to be as much of a threat in the passing game?
Well, my here's my thought. I think once, you know, once a guy puts up a six touchdown game, you know, you can no longer ignore that. I don't care if you're Taysom Hill or, you know, you're Jameis Winston. I don't care who you are. You know, if you have a guy in your team, you know, like I said earlier, it's, you know, if I'm Sam Darnold and CMC's on my team, I'm going to that guy. You know, if I'm, you know, Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, Alvin Kamara is a guy on my team that had a 6-touchdown game. I'm looking for him for sure. The guy can score 6 touchdowns in a game. I'm going to find him because he's going to score me another touchdown. So, yeah, I'm going to look for Alvin Kamara. So whatever happened before that, I think having 6 TDs in a game, I think completely changed, should change the thought processes of Taysom Hill for sure. If he hasn't leaned on Kamara in the past, that game I think should have at least flicked on a switch in him to say, I think maybe I should lean on this guy a little bit more. So I think it will. I mean, that's crazy to not, you know, if you're Taysom Hill and you're not utilizing Alvin Kamara, like, you know, put in Jameis Winston.
I love Kamara. I think the thing is they're going to have even if Taysom Hill is the quarterback, which I'm going on the record that I think it's going to be Jameis Winston.
Me too.
So I think if it's Taysom, I think they're going to figure out a way to get Kamara involved. And Kamara is just too good. He's making a lot of money. So if you're making a lot of money, they want to see the investment getting the ball.
Well, yeah, but he's making a lot of money for a reason. It's because he's already proven
that he's good.
It's not like, oh wow, they gave me a lot of money. I better show them what I can do. No, I've already shown them what I can do. Just keep the ball coming to me and I'll show you more of what I can do. So yeah, just keep giving them the rock, man. He's gonna kill it.
Well, one guy we got the
fed, feed me. Is that what
it's right? Feed me.
Feed me. Feed me.
Feed the beast.
Give me the baby. I want to eat the baby. Hopefully, Austin Power fans. Mexicans yes. do like Austin Powers and Star yes. Wars.
Remember, I talked to you about that super trade. I could see Aaron Rodgers going to New Orleans and doing a super trade.
What? Yeah, I don't see Kamara leaving though. Kamara's not going to leave in New Orleans. No way.
You got two quarterbacks. You got two quarterbacks to trade over there, and
I don't know.
Yeah, that's that'd Aaron be Rodgers fun.
Is the MVP. I don't know.
That'd be fun. I don't know if they have enough salary cap space to afford Aaron Rodgers.
The money side.
Siempre el dinero. Siempre el dinero.
Yeah. I'll take less for more.
Yeah. I don't see Aaron Rodgers taking less.
Nobody takes less. He's
got Tom Brady.
They already offered him more. So, you know, it's not just money, but he's not going to take less. So, vamos a ver. Well, let's get to Jonathan Taylor. Hector, you had him number 4 on your list. Late season run, huh?
I love me some Jonathan Taylor. The fact that Carson Wentz is there, and we've talked about this before. I think Carson Wentz has been reunited with his old offensive coordinator, right? Back from Philly.
Yes,
I have that right.
Frank Reich was his old OC.
Right. So now, yeah. So Frank Reich is now his head coach, but he was his offensive coordinator in Philly, right?
Correcto.
So exactly. So you know Carson Wentz now, Frank Reich there, Jonathan Taylor. The Jonathan Taylor was a beast last year. I mean, I wish I had him on my team because man, that guy just blew the hell up. And Carson Wentz, I think he's gonna have a resurgence. I think he's gonna come back to, you know, those old Philly days. You know, I think people have counted him out, you know, recently, and I think that's a little bit premature. I think Carson Wentz still has a lot of years left in him. He's only, you know, what, 26, 27 years old, whatever. He's not old for sure. So I think Carson Wentz is going to have –
I think he's going to be 28 this year.
Yeah. So he's not an old man. He definitely has it in him. You know, he's had a few years to recover from his, you know, crazy surgeries that he's had. I think with Frank Reich there, he's gonna right the ship. Carson Wentz will have a good year. And with Jonathan Taylor back there, I think that just opens things up for Jonathan Taylor big time. The Colts have some nice receivers there. There's that's gonna open up the offense even more for Carson Wentz, even more for Jonathan Taylor. So I look for Jonathan Taylor to just have another monster year. He was awesome last year. And I like him at my high ranking of what I put him at number 4.
You got him at number 4. Right?
I like him up there, man. I think he's going to be awesome this year.
I had him number 6, I believe. And I really, you know, I think he's got the upside to go for 2,000 yards in this offense. Yeah. Got a great offensive line. Yeah. They're not going to be able to crowd the box because the quarterback's going to be throwing deep.
And a pretty good defense too, right? Pretty good defense.
They got a good defense. So I look at
they'll be winning, and you know, just run the ball at the end of the game, you know, garbage time. Just gonna run the clock out, give the ball to Taylor, and he busts one here and there, you know, 50 yards here, 60 yards there, touchdown here, touchdown there. It's coming.
They used Hines quite a bit too toward the end.
Muy cierto.
When they needed to get the yards, like we need that 3 yards, they would use Hines. Like, okay, they're using him more. So they kind of started to running back by committee for a little bit.
Yeah, but Taylor's the cow for sure. He's the caballo. He's going to get the brunt, and he's going to, I think, that offense is his for the most part.
Taylor's the guy, but Hines is definitely going to be involved in the passing game, and that's what Zach Kiefer from The Athletic, who's the Colts beat writer, he told me this just yesterday when we did our interview. That he expects him to be he expects Hines to still be getting some targets, and even Marlon Mack still getting some play, you know, maybe some carries. This is a guy who missed the whole season with an Achilles injury. So
right.
We'll see. So the next one, it's too bad Ricky's not here. Austin Eckler and the compas on the beat, they like him, but there's one thing that they've talked about, and they even interviewed Austin Eckler. He knows he's not the lead caballo. He's not the caballo de batalla. He's not the guy who's going to be running it 250 times. He's going to run it like 150 to 175 times and
but
get
he's
like
catch.
He's going to catch a lot of balls. And I mean, he could be, and the thing is, the offensive coordinator came from the Saints. So
they're going to mirror that for sure.
They've talked a lot about using that one
in a game for Eckler.
Yeah. And he's never, well, let's hope. But he's never had, more than 132 rush attempts. He's 26. He's still, you know, he missed six games last year with a hamstring. And it looks like he said he wasn't full strength when he came back. So I look at Eckler, I'm like, I still like the possibility, but I'm looking at him to be a Kamara type. I'm not looking at him to be the guy who's going to be running like crazy.
No, not at all. And he's not built for that either. You know, Eckler is not built to be a bowling ball, you know, type of runner like Derrick Henry. Not at all. You know, he's more finesse. You know, he can catch the ball. He can run when he needs to run, but he's quick. He can make quick cuts and he's fast. So yeah, he's going to definitely be an Alvin Kamara type. And you know, if the Saints OC coming over and doing things now for the Chargers. This actually will be Kamara 2.0. And I can see big things coming. Especially with Herbert too, you know, like a Drew Brees type of offense. Forget about it.
That'd be so fun. That would be so fun.
The thing I noticed is all these guys are young.
Yeah.
I think 26 is the top age on these top 10, you know. And
Henry is going to be 27. I mean, but nobody below that.
Yeah.
Nobody above that. I'm sorry.
But he's huge. So it's okay to be 27.
And he didn't get a lot of usage. And, you know, and here's a guy, number eight.
Man.
Number eight, we have Ezekiel Elliott, age
26.
And he was number eight. Oh, here's an interesting fact I saw today. Todd Gurley is younger than Derrick Henry.
What?
Yes. He's a year younger than Derrick.
Isn't Todd Gurley like? I think I read somewhere Todd Gurley is like he had a workout with somebody and he didn't.
The Ravens
cut a deal. The Ravens. Well, with Baltimore.
He's
that's
with
right.
the Ravens. He visited the Ravens. He also visited the Lions. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen there? I mean,
he might still be out of the league, man. That's crazy.
Some guys get retired by the game. But the next guy is another guy who got paid, but he's still getting paid, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, last year was a tough year for him. He got COVID during the offseason. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was the guy I picked him number two in our Familia League.
Yeah, you did.
I picked him over other guys. And even though he played, he just wasn't himself. You know, when the offensive line got dinged up, you know, and Dak Prescott had suffered that devastating. to say the least.
To say it mildly.
You know, he was the RB4 at that point during those weeks. And so, you know, during the first 4 weeks of the season. So he's still got it if Prescott's there. Prescott's supposed to be there this year. The O-line should be healthier this year. Could they be fine? Everything, you know, we got he looks like he's in the best shape of his life from Dak Prescott saying that about Zeke. So, but you hear that all the time.
That's politics. They're supposed to say that.
I look at this and it's like, and Zeke could be an exciting, he could be a guy that you get if he lasts into the late first round or early second round. He's a guy that could have one more good season left in him, one or two more good seasons left in him. At least I know the Cowboys expect that. Anybody think, you know, Hector, where'd you have him? You had him number 9. So right there, I had him in number 7. So
I'm hesitant, man. I mean, Ricky being our resident, you know, nurse, you know, said that, you know, with COVID, there could be some heart issues. And again, it appeared that Zeke was just out of sorts last year. He just wasn't himself. And in my mind, there may be a correlation there. And, you know, even though Dak, again, as he's supposed to say, wow, this guy looks like he's a rookie. He's in the best shape of his life. Wow. He's supposed to say that. So that doesn't really mean anything to anyone. The reality is like what really, you know, what is the reality? You know, with Zeke, and how, you know, did COVID really affect him? And it was his subpar season last year really a result of COVID? And is that going to carry over now into this year? And so, you know, Dak coming back from, you know, big injury, there's some question marks there. You know, so that's why I rank Zeke a little bit lower, because I'm still a little hesitant. I definitely pick some other guys ahead of him. You know, I have Eckler, I have Chubb ahead of him, Saquon, Alvin Kamara ahead of him. So those are just guys I have a little bit more trust in, just because, you know, with COVID, just, we've never seen it before. You know, so, you know, who knows if there's a spillover, carryover type of thing with people who've had it. So I'm, like I said, I'm just kind of tempering my expectation with Zeke, and that's why I ranked him a little bit lower. So I'll take a wait and see approach. I don't know if I want to, you know, take a risk on him at that pick. I'll wait a little bit. If he's available there to me at number 9, yeah, I would scoop him up there. But before that, I have some other guys that I have in mind.
Nico, Las Vegas, any final word?
No, I just, you know, with that subsidized unemployment, he might not want to come back to work. So I'm just.
he's got a paycheck from Chunky Soup still, right? So that's
exactly.
Ay Dios mío. This is why I love you guys.
Sopa. Another kind of, not sopa de arroz, another kind of sopa.
Cambo soup. So our next guy is kind of interesting. Cam Akers. He's number nine on our list. Both of us actually had him lower than that. I have him number 11. Hector, you had him number 10, but we had such a disparity on other guys. So he had such an incredible closing kick. But I look at the fact that, you know, the conversation with Kevin Modesty, the beat writer for the Rams, he pointed out that, you know, that Daryl Henderson was that the Rams do want that lead back, that number one back, mm-hmm. but Daryl Henderson still could get some play in there. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, that one gives me pause to want to grab. At this point, I may be looking at grabbing a receiver and letting somebody else get Cam Akers. So that's the thing I'm thinking about the draft, or grabbing a Travis Kelce, who's such a stud.
Right. Yes. Such a stud.
But he was so great at the end, and I'm a Ram fan, but I massacred.
Yeah, but again, now we're starting to get into, you know, later in the first round, and now if it's running back by committee, and if Henderson's gonna you know take a bite out of his carries, then yeah, you're gonna have reason to be a little bit hesitant there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. He averaged 85 rushing yards at the end of the season. His last four games, and he was dominant in the playoffs. He was great. He was really good in the playoffs. And
yes,
but the other thing is, you know, if he comes in, is he also a factor in the receiving game? So could that be happening? And that's very interesting. And you know,
Stafford. I mean, is Stafford known to be throwing the running backs, or is that, you know, is
he throw? Yeah, he throws. You know, he doesn't throw it as much like a Phillip Rivers or somebody like that, right, or Drew Brees, right. But you know, remember that game last year? He threw it to DeAndre Swift to win the game.
and he dropped it in the end zone.
Ay Dios mío.
I still remember that. That's
Ay Dios mío.
Because my brother Vic is a diehard.
Yep.
He's like, yes. And he's like, no. Oh, it was horrible. That was horrible. Yeah.
So the next one is named after our primo, Nick Chubb.
Not the chub part, Primo. The Nick part.
I'll take it off. You know?
You take it off. We're just going to start getting Nick Chubb for that one.
So Nick Chubb.
Nico Fatso, so I'll just go to Nick Chubb. That's Nick Chubb.
Man.
So I look at him, I didn't have him very highly rated just because I know he's not much in the passing game. And Hector, you had him high. You had him number 7. Mm-hmm. I had him number 15 just because I just had other guys that I ranked just a little bit ahead of him, just a little bit, but there's a lot to like with him. He's got a great line. He did miss some time, but he's still only age 25. No surgery happened. Nico, you got your Tocayo. You feeling good about him?
Well, you know, it's with him and Hunt there, because Hunt could blow up and be like the best there, you know. And you got them both there, and it's a lot like New Orleans when you had Kamara, you know, out there. And
you had Hunt kind of filling the Kamara.
Yeah, so you basically have, you know, two good running backs. And to tell you, I don't know why they didn't kill it, because it's like these guys, but they did. There were some games, remember, they were just, you know, ham and egging it back and forth. So, you know, you get Chubb to go out there. You know, you got Hunt, and then so you can go back and forth, and you can pass it. They got a quarterback that can pass. You know, I loved seeing the Browns in the playoffs. So,
they have a great O-line. I mean, that's the thing that I look at. Yeah. You know, for Nick Chubb, they have a top-notch O-line. You know, ranked number one by Pro Football Focus.
Yep, numero uno.
So ranked number one. So anytime, you know, you got to be salivating. If you're talking strategy with how you're drafting, and you want a running back, you know, with a top offensive line. You want a quarterback with a top offensive line. This is good for Baker Mayfield. You know, if you're looking at quarterbacks, if Baker Mayfield has, you know, the number one ranked offensive line, then yeah, you're definitely, you know, keeping an eye on Baker as your QB, because that means they're going to be sitting back there like Tom Brady was in the Super Bowl, just kind of camping out, you know, and just playing pitch and catch, you know. So this bodes well for the Cleveland offense. So, I put Nick Chubb a little bit higher, because I think, you know, anytime you have a solid line, that's going to open up some alleys for him. And if Nick Chubb has alleys, he will run through them for sure and get some big yards.
Yeah, and they did a special about college football and how it kind of progressed, you know, the West Coast offense and everything. But back in the day, all the cold universities, they couldn't throw, so they ran all the time. And these guys were in Cleveland, so they're going to be at home half the time. So they're going to run a lot, because they won't be able to throw, even though you can throw in any weather. But when it's cold, you're going to run. When it's rain, snow.
Good point.
He's a guy you want late in the season. You know, there were those crazy weather games that they had in Cleveland.
Yeah,
Of the season. So you know that, and Chubb still played well in those games because they decided to run the ball. So that's another thing to keep in mind. I mean, we'll definitely be breaking down their schedule, doing more. You know, I'll be hitting up a Cleveland Browns beat writer in the weeks ahead to get
awesome.
Keep us going on that one. So,
yeah.
Primos, es todo for our show, our live stream.
For our show. Yeah.
Special thanks to Anchor and to YouTube for putting our podcast out into the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe at YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Please make sure you're following our original content at familiaffb.com, and that you're also checking out our Twitter. You can find me at JorgeMartin17. Our Twitter is at familiaffb. Hector?
What the heck? Two T's?
Ricky is at Ricky Torres TV. Sorry, Ricky Torres TV. Nico is going to get Twitter one of these days and not be in the Stone Age.
Las Vegas.
The kings of the Stone Age.
And there you go. You know, Nico Las Vegas. Nico Las Vegas. All right. Well, let's get out of here. Everybody, gracias, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia.
That's right.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.
Salud.